It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And I guess the big event for this week, or actually for this time of year, are all of the young birds that are showing up at the bird feeders. I've got young rose-breasted grosbeaks. I've got young nuthatches. I've got young chickadees. I've got young rabbits hanging out under the feeder. I've got young chipmunks, young squirrels. Everybody has had a happy family, and there is a lot of protein out there on the hoof waiting for all of those predators to come in and claim their fair share. So I hope to be there when some of the rabbits go down. I have an awful big supply of rabbits, and I don't know. I guess I wouldn't complain if an owl came in and made a meal of a couple of them. That'd be fine with me. So check out your feeders, check out, as you're driving along, look for the young rabbits, the young woodchucks, the young, young fox, young wolves. Everybody's getting out and about. They've had a chance to get themselves fed from their mothers for a while, and now they're breaking out onto their own, and they're getting out there and starting to adventure in the world themselves. So watch for them, check them out, try not to hit them as they're learning about highways and highway safety. Among the other things I've been watching this week, some things on the downside, like cow parsnip, which is kind of at the end of its flowering stage. You may recall this plant, big white disc of flowers, sometimes as big as a pie, 6-8 inches across, and leaves that look like maple tree leaves, big lobed leaves that are also 6 to 8 inches across, monster leaves and monster flowers. But now kind of starting to yellow down and turn brown. And those are done for another year. But the interesting thing about cow parsnip is that, first of all, the flower structure on it is an umbel. And an umbel is one of those things that it sort of spreads out, but all of the flowers are kind of at the same height. So you get this big flat disc of flowers that are all at the same height. And that stalk, that 5, 6, 7 foot high stalk from the cow parsnip is going to stand through the winter, or well into winter at any rate. And it will have that umbel, and you'll be able to see the entire structure that was part of the plant's growing and flowering portions, and through the winter, those dried sections will remain and give you a real good look at how an umbel is formed. Another plant that's sort of on the downside are, we're starting to see old plants like yarrow probably has reached its peak of flowering, and I would expect that it will slowly begin to decline. I've seen a lot of evening primrose, which is probably just now getting to its peak, and mullein is coming along as well. Some of these flowers are sort of reaching their peak and now will start to decline. The same can be said of the early goldenrod. But the other goldenrods are not far from flowering. I was walking yesterday and noticed that the splendid goldenrod are budded, not yet flowering. The grass-leaved goldenrod, also called the flat-topped goldenrod because of the flat nature of the flower of that goldenrod. They are also budded up, but not yet flowering. So you're going to see a lot of different varieties of goldenrod coming in the next few weeks. And while I was walking around in the woods yesterday, I noticed a lot of the asters, the large-leafed asters, are budded up. No flowers yet at my house, but the large-leafed asters are very close to budding and flowering. And the large-leafed aster is kind of easily discerned from other asters because the flower itself is blue, but that doesn't make it different because there are several blue asters out there. But the large-leafed aster flower looks as though someone has come along and plucked some of the rays out of it. You remember the old game we used to play with the daisy, where you'd get the daisy and you'd pull off a ray and you'd go, "She loves me," and then she'd go, "She loves me not," and "She loves me," and "She loves me not." Well, imagine somebody doing that with the large-leafed aster flower, except that they're not going in order. They're just picking them randomly from around the disc. So you get 4 or 5 of these rays together, these blue rays sticking out, and you've got a yellow center, and you got 4 or 5 of these blue rays sticking out. Then there's a gap. And then there might be 2 or 3, and then a gap, and then 4 or 5 more, and then a gap. So if you see these blue rayed flowers, they're going to look like a daisy, except that you're going to see that some of the rays are missing. And those invariably are going to be the large-leafed asters. And they should start blooming this week. I would expect to see them blooming right away this week. Along the edges of the roads, there is a plant called squirrel-tail grass or foxtail barley. And it's low. It has a real long on, which is the spike that comes out of the seed, which helps the seed to get transferred from one place to another. But these guys look kind of like silvery. They're like 5, 6, 8 inches tall. They grow in big patches, and you're going to see kind of a silvery green mass of these long hair-like structures, and that is foxtail barley or squirrel-tail grass, and you can't really miss it. It's all over the place. Looking at the big blue stem in my yard, the big blue stem grasses in my yard, they are starting to bloom, and the male flowers are pretty evident there, bright yellow male flowers on that one. Phragmites, I think a lot of people call this one common reed. It's just, it grows usually in wet areas. It's got a stem that's kind of a mixture of brown and red, wine red and sort of khaki. And that common reed, Phragmites, is setting flower heads now, but not yet blooming. I took a trip up to McCarthy Beach State Park last Thursday, and we found along the waterway there, we found water smartweed, which is a polygonum, and that means it's got knees or joints. As the stem grows, there are these big joints that come along, and the polygonum or the water smartweed has these little clusters of red flowers right at the top. And they are 2 inches long and 1/2 inch wide and kind of pinkish red. And they float right on the water, and the flowers are just above that. And they're really quite pretty. They're really quite gorgeous to look at. So if you're on canoe or a boat and you're in along the shoreline and it's a little bit weedy there, look for the water smartweed. And another plant you're likely to find in there, actually there are a couple of them, the arrowhead plant. Grass-leaved arrowhead was blooming up on the river coming out of McCarthy Beach State Park, and the arrowhead-leaved arrowhead, the Sagittaria graminea is the grass-leaved, and the other one is Sagittaria. Anyway, it got a big, broad arrowhead-shaped leaf on it, and both of these flowers are interesting because they have 3 white petals. And nature doesn't do a lot of threes, not many flowers in the 3-petal group, but there are 2 examples that are going to be found in the water and right along the edges of the shore. Pileated woodpeckers, boy, I've been seeing a lot of those this past week, just flying and calling and just carrying on. Apparently, their young are out and they're doing their thing. Canada thistle went to seed this week, probably in your area. It's been in seed for a little while, but I saw my first ones this week, and that is usually the sign that the goldfinches will begin to nest, because they like that down from the seeds of the thistles to line their nests. Pearly everlasting has started to show up. It's not blooming yet, but if you're driving along this morning and you're looking at the ditches, you're going to see these pale green plants with bright white flower heads at the top. And that's pearly everlasting. Makes a great dried flower arrangement, but at this point, it's just getting started, so you're going to have to wait a while before you get into those. I saw the bittersweet nightshade in bloom this past week, and this is a really interesting plant. It's got reflexed leaves or petals. It's purple. The center is bright yellow. And bittersweet nightshade is a close cousin of a plant called deadly nightshade. And the deadly nightshade and the bittersweet nightshade are both plants you don't want to eat. The deadly nightshade more so than the bittersweet nightshade. The feeling about bittersweet nightshade is that it probably won't kill you, but it'll make you sick and you won't be happy about that. The interesting thing about the nightshade plants is that they and the tomatoes are in the same family. And if you look at the flowers on a tomato and look at the flowers on the bittersweet nightshade, outside of color, they're very, very similar. The tomato petals on the tomato flowers are oppressed. That is, they roll back against the ovary behind them. And the stamens protrude from the front of the flower in a very dynamic fashion. So check out the tomatoes in your garden, the flowering tomatoes in your garden, and then check out the bittersweet nightshade, which is probably growing nearby. It's purple flower with bright yellow stamens on it, and you won't have any trouble finding it if you kind of search around in the waste areas around your place. It's a gorgeous flower. The plants are toxic. That is, they'll make you sick, but the worst problem, I think, for them is that they tend to dominate an area. Once they come in, they tend to overpower all of their competition, and you end up with big, big, big patches of bittersweet nightshade, which is not where you want to be. Common milkweed is probably approaching its peak of bloom. Common tansy is probably approaching its peak of bloom. And if you find tansy in your yard, it's probably a good idea to get out there and get rid of it. We exorcised the tansy from the rain garden here at KAXE during the music festival on Saturday. And it was an example for you if you are wishing to keep tansy from becoming a problem on your property. It's a good time to get out there and take care of it. In the bogs, the round-leaved sundew flowers are probably reaching their peak. And I learned something about the sundew this week that I had not been aware of, and that is the flowers are very short-lived, very ephemeral. I had observed the round-leaved sundew in flower, and I ran into a researcher from the University of Florida, and I said, you've got to check these out. And she said, well, take me over there. And this is maybe 3-4 hours after I'd seen these flowers in the morning. And I went over there, and I couldn't find them. And I looked, and I looked, and I studied, and I looked, and I found the plants, but the flowers were gone. And this past week, twice I had the same experience. That is, I'd walk by an area and I would see the flowers of the round-leaf sundew, and a couple hours later, walking past the same area and looking at the same spot, the flowers were gone. And so they apparently are very short-lived. as flowers go. That's the round-leafed sundew. The flower itself is 5 petals and very small, probably greater than 1/8 of an inch, but smaller than 1/4, which would make it 3/16 of an inch, roughly, give or take. And so you need to be, you need to have that eye kind of tuned for a very small white flower in an otherwise pretty green background of the bogs. I have been, let me say first of all that some people are counters, and I'm one of them. I count things. I count the steps when I climb steps. I count the deer flies that I kill. And I count the deer flies that get away with biting me. And I usually like to keep the ratio at about 100 to 1. That is, for every 100 deer flies that I kill, I'll accept one bite. And yesterday, the math got skewed pretty violently in favor of the biters as opposed to the killer. And over 2 days, I killed 51 deer flies. But I was bitten yesterday probably 4 or 5 times, including once on the side of my thumb, which caused my whole thumb to itch for about an hour. And I wasn't very happy about that, but that's all right. I'm going to go back out and try to establish a more equitable account of myself versus the deer flies. And I hope you will do the same because, you know, if we're all killing deer flies, it works in our favor. I noticed on the spreading dogbane in my yard that the most common butterfly that's there right now is an Atlantis fritillary. And we have several fritillaries in this part of the country. They look a little bit like a monarch butterfly. If you're not familiar with butterflies at all, and you see this butterfly on your spreading dogbane, you're probably going to think, oh, look at the monarch. Well, most of those on the dogbane are not going to be monarchs because the monarchs tend to focus on milkweed plants, but they do occasionally visit the spreading dogbane. But the fritillaries really like the dogbane, and you will see lots and lots of fritillaries on the dogbanes. I recommend a quick snap with your camera. If you've got one of those phones with a camera on it, take a picture of it and then either send it in to me and I'll pass it along to the experts, or get yourself a copy of the Larry Weber's Butterfly's Guide to the North Woods, and you'll be able to figure it out for yourself. In my blueberry patch, I've got some dock-leaved smartweed coming up. This is a relative of the water smartweed we were talking about earlier. This one has a white or pinkish flower, and it's quite compact and tight, like maybe 1 3/4 inches long and 3/8 of an inch wide. And the leaves are really stunning. You need to look at the leaves. They're long, elliptical, and pointed, and they have very, very interesting veins on them. Choke cherry, pin cherry, Juneberry. Well, the Juneberries are kind of reaching their end, but choke cherries and pin cherries are ripening right now. Blackberries, raspberries, and blueberries are still ripe, and there are plenty of them out there. There are lots of hazelnuts. I did a little inventory of hazelnuts yesterday, and there are lots and lots of hazelnuts all over the place. And so it looks like a good year for animals that are dependent on those fruits. And some of those animals are you and me. And so have a good pick and enjoy the taste of those wonderful fruits as they come ripe here at the end of the season. Boneset. I saw my first boneset in bloom yesterday. And that's about 10 days ahead of average. And that might just be an error caused by my being out and checking them out a little bit earlier this year. And I mentioned the large-leafed asters getting ready to bloom. Blue bead lily is living up to its name. There's lots of blue beads around in the in the underbrush right now. These are not edible, and you could gather that very quickly by observing closely the structure of the plant, and you would see that almost nothing has taken a bite out of any of those bright blue berries that stand 2, 3, 4, or 5 in a cluster at the top of a single stalk. That's how you know they're not blueberries. They've got a single stalk, 4 or 5 berries at the top, all by themselves. And of course, if you follow that stalk down, you're going to come to some very non-blueberry-like leaves, some big lily-like leaves that'll be sticking up down there. So go out, enjoy nature, eat the things you know, avoid the things you don't, and you'll probably be just fine. That's our Phenology Show for this week. We'll talk to you again next week.